Hello, friends and folks, and welcome to Ill-Gotten Games, a show about pushing back on the toxic influence of capitalism on video games. I'm Six Detmar from Scanline Media.
And I'm Jennifer Uncle from Scanline Media.
And this week, it's kind of an interesting case because, capitalism takes a lot of forms, right? And this time, I don't know how much of this we're going to blame on capitalism and how much, well, you know what? I think at the end of the day, we're going to find, when we follow this string all the way down, that capitalism has a large part to play. But definitely toxicity. Because this week, I always say week, even though this is the third episode, and this is like month five. This is not a weekly podcast.
Yeah, this is more of a break glass in case of emergency podcast.
Yeah. So the emergency for this episode is Epic Games Store and a lot of matters tied up with it. I generally let you handle explanations and stuff. What's the deal with the Epic Games Store? What is this store? Epic Games. I love games and I also love things that are epic. This sounds great.
So around, I think it was late last year, they ended up, Epic Games ended up taking the Fortnite launcher they were using and replacing it with a all-purpose store. And along with that, they announced a bunch of exclusive games that would be sold through the Epic Store, sort of like a competitor to Steam with a cash flow, because all the Fortnite money that could actually match Steam in some way. And it wasn't long before people got super duper upset about it, especially since they ran into certain situations where games like Metro Exodus, which was initially being sold through Steam, got yanked from Steam and went on the Epic Store instead. There's been a few cases of that. There's also just been things like, oh, okay, such and such indie is going to have their port finally, but it's coming to the Epic Store. And people are getting very, very awkward about this. Like, I understand not liking a different launcher. I understand that it's a bit of a worse interface to use and various things like that, but it's been blown out of such proportion that at one point when I was asking whether people would be interested in me streaming a specific game during a random afternoon, someone was like, oh, never mind, I just saw that it's a game you bought from the Epic Store, and I can't support a stream like that.
So that's sort of the big picture as to this quick pitch on this episode and what we're going to be talking about. But now we're going to sort of zoom in and talk about stuff in more detail and more piece by piece. So first and foremost, obviously, Epic has been a games company for quite some time. Let me see, when's 1991 is when they were founded. Mm-hmm. up in Cary, North Carolina. They were once Potomac Computer Systems and then Epic Mega Games and now just Epic Games. So basically this happened because of Fortnite, right?
More or less, yeah. Fortnite started out as this this free-to-play, it wasn't free-to-play at the time, it was buy-in, player versus enemy situation where you were fighting against zombie hordes, but at some point, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds came out, and they quickly pivoted to basically taking that idea and putting it into the Fortnite engine, and now that's just what Fortnite is. No one ever thinks about the PvE part of it. It's this 100-player battle royale where a bunch of cartoon characters jump out of a bus and shoot each other.
Mm-hmm. So that game obviously exploded. I'd be extremely surprised if you were listening to this and you hadn't heard of Fortnite. Everyone's heard of Fortnite. And with that explosion of popularity and usership, Epic was in a unique position. They're also them being a tech company, like Samsung or like Sony, a tech company as in they're in the business of coding. They're Unreal Engine, right? They have a lot of really talented coders.
Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of studios that use their engine, like several, even companies that traditionally have made their own engine, like Square Enix, have been increasingly using things like Unity and Unreal.
Mm-hmm. And so they had a unique bit of leverage and positioning, and the time was right. So they launched the Epic Game Store as a competitor directly to Steam, which is kind of, you know, the big storefront on Windows PC. Obviously, other ones exist. Sometimes, you know, you could go to good old games, or I guess they're just GOG.com these days. They changed their name because mm-hmm. They didn't want people to think old. But nobody likes old things. And you know, you got Humble, but I mean, Humble these days mostly just gives you keys for Steam. So nobody was really taking the fight or had the positioning to take the fight to Steam head on, and Epic thought they were going to be the ones to challenge this monopoly, basically. And on its face, I thought that was a good thing, right?
Yeah, totally. Steam is... We've gone into Steam numerous times in the past, but they're a... It's a fucking awful service. And it's constantly changing things in ways that more or less hurt indies while boosting their AAA studios that end up publishing there. Like, they go through regular periods where they are like, oh, hey, maybe I'll ban all these visual novels that we already permitted to be on here after close scrutiny, because someone as part of our magical meritocracy studio form ended up being like, oh, I think that this is bad. And then someone else stepped in and was like, no, this is good. Stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but like, generally, anytime something changes on Steam, it's almost never for the better.
Yeah. And it's a whole mess. And I think a lot of that is born of the fact that there hasn't been a whole lot of competition to them, so they could kind of just do whatever and not be punished for it. Anything they wanted to do, they could do, because no one was going to offer a counter that could steal customers away from them. So Epic, just like the idea of someone competing, was inherently a good thing in my mind. The reality is that I do think the Epic Store has made some missteps, right?
Mm-hmm.
As we mentioned before, I think its UI and its flow and a lot of its features kind of suck. It's not a very good store. And I do think there have been some steps taken as far as, like, exclusivity and stuff that have been kind of... I can see why people would be frustrated, right? Like, you know, you have games that are, like, up for pre-order on Steam, and then they just get pulled from Steam because Epic bought them out, basically. And it's like, okay, no, it's no longer on Steam. You have to switch to Epic, and you have to install and run our launcher.
In some cases, yeah. I've seen other cases, like Metro Exodus was one of the first, where they straight up gave people Steam keys.
Sure. Yeah, it's not, you know, there are different approaches for different games. It's not universal. And I will note, though, that Steam's reaction, like, the other thing is, like, Epic has tried to, like, they've done exclusivity, they've done some buyouts, and they've also offered, like, more agreeable, like, percentages as far as, like, how much of a revenue fee they're going to take.
Mm-hmm. And they've also done this grant recently where it might be some combination of both using Unreal Engine and publishing there, but, or just making something with Unreal itself, but they're going out of their way to subsidize developers.
Yeah, they're taking some deals that are like they say that they did the math and they can manage to stay profitable, but like they had to do the math. Like they're cutting it close in order to get to, you know, actually take some numbers away from Steam. And Steam for Valve's part has done they've had very little response. They lowered some rates on some things. Nowhere near as much as Epic has, so it wasn't a real contest. Just enough to show that, hey, we could lower our stuff more, but we're not doing it. And then also on a few specific instances, like when Metro Exodus had its pre-orders pulled, and, you know, people who had previously pre-ordered still got their keys, but no one could do it anymore. Valve posted an announcement on the page being like, hey, here's what's going on, and we think this is lousy, right, gamers? Which feels pretty close to someone like posting a screenshot of someone's, you know, tweet and Twitter account and saying, Twitter, do your thing.
Yeah.
It's the same vibe there.
Yeah, except Steam is somehow an even more toxic social network than Twitter because Steam...
Well, hang on. No, it's not. I get it. I appreciate your sentiment, but I can't let that one go unchallenged, Jen.
Fair. But yeah, it's a situation where they more or less helped contribute in kicking the hornet's nest. And around this time, there was also a bunch of China scaremongering going on, being like, oh, look how much Tencent owns Epic Games. They're clearly using the software to spy on you, even though that's really a jingoistic thing to assume, and B, it's a situation where, like, look around you. Tencent invests in fucking everything. Like, if you actually are buying into this ridiculous racist idea that China's spying on your computer, then you more or less have to look at every single program you have, because they're all in some way... Like, Tencent's been profitable enough that they can pretty much invest in everything, like League of Legends and stuff like that, so...
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because, it, like, there's this, you know, people talk basically about, like, well, like, you know, it's China, right? And there are so many things to unpack there. One is the fact that Epic is still more than 50% owned by Tim Sweeney, the founder. Tencent has less than a controlling interest.
Yeah.
So they don't have control over what Epic does. They have some votes. Tim Sweeney can literally do whatever he wants with Epic. It's just that Tencent is going to make a little bit of profit when they make good decisions. It's also worth noting, like, you mentioned Riot Games. Do you want to guess what percent Riot Games is owned by Tencent?
I'm guessing somewhere in the 20 to 30%, something like that.
100%.
Oh, wow, okay.
Every inch of Riot Games is owned by Tencent. And yet this is only ever brought up in, like, a sort of sarcastic, like, well, I guess Tencent decided to release a new skin. People aren't, like, throwing tantrums about that. League of Legends is doing fine. And I am absolutely not trying to say, like, well, you thought Epic Games was the problem. You should really be attacking Riot. You shouldn't be attacking any of these people. But it is a weird bit of just, like, people not doing their homework and being really stupid about their racism, in a way that's kind of darkly comedic. And then there's a very specific, like, it's very specifically a China thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, okay, let's talk about, I mentioned earlier, GOG.com. GOG.com is a subsidiary of CD Projekt SA. CD Projekt Red is also a subsidiary of CJ Projekt SA. That company is entirely owned in Poland. That's a foreign national. People don't seem to have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that either. Also, guess how much CD Projekt is worth? What do you think their net worth is? And this is as of 2017, so it's gone up since this time.
I'd say around 700 million.
2.3 billion.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They're huge. People, they had this whole thing of, like, oh, you know, we're CD Projekt Red and we're GOG and we're the tiny little Witcher team. They're a multi-billion dollar company.
Yeah. Turns out owning the storefront where you're selling your one of the biggest games ever helps out a lot.
Yeah. So, like, I think we've cracked any myth of it being, like a USA first thing. Because, of course, it's not, because Epic Games is mostly owned by a U.S. citizen, and other companies that aren't, the gamers seem to have no problem with. And then as far as the China thing, if it's just a China thing, why is it not Riot Games? And so here's where it becomes about capitalism, right? Is because I think this is sort of like a directed, like, dog whistle bit of brand loyalty to Steam.
Yeah, and it's not only that, it's also a situation where, like, the thing that people were supposedly up in arms about most recently is Ooblets, this small game that was made, like, it has two main people as their developers, announced an Epic Games Store exclusivity, and they were kind of being tongue-in-cheek, just being like, hey, this platform exclusivity thing's kind of silly, huh? And platforms, that kind of thing. And people took that in the worst way possible. Like, they decided that since people were treating something they were already very invested in as something that's incredibly serious, that posting a fun tongue-in-cheek post about moving over to Epic Games Store was enough to flood their Discord channel and send a bunch of threatening messages. And by a bunch, that's slightly downplaying how much it is, because they got sent millions of messages.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of, you know, it's a lot of slurs, it's a lot of very, very graphic threats and insults. It's pretty intense stuff. And my theory about all of this is pretty straightforward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gamergate. Remember that?
Yeah.
Those people weren't cured, right? Like, I know a person who at the beginning was, like, not, like, part of Gamergate, but was, like, Gamergate sympathetic, who has since been like, wow, that was a mistake. I was young and stupid. And, like, you know, I don't tease him about that, but, like, he knows that that was a fucked up thing that he did. Most of those people don't think that way. Most of those people have gone quiet as far as Gamergate just because it's not popular anymore. They haven't gained a conscience suddenly. They haven't learned empathy. It's just that it's not the popular thing to do.
Yeah, a lot of them basically moved over to Comicsgate, where they spent time harassing women and marginalized creators who were making comic books.
Yeah, they're just hopping from excuse to excuse to continue being toxic, abusive people. And this is just another excuse for them, right? This is another situation where they can be racist, xenophobic, misogynist, threatening, and they can just go, you know, whole hog and be part of... they can't be, like, not acceptable. Of course it's not acceptable. But they're enough a part of a crowd that they're not worried about consequences.
Mm-hmm. And the way that they basically... The way that they basically do that, it's also... Like, the nexus for what Gamergate was also something that led a lot of people into white nationalism and Nazism, things like that, because basically these agitators got these people stoked into furor and then went, oh, by the way, here's this other political stuff, and kind of got them hook, line, and sinker. And mm-hmm. you can see that sort of happening here, too, like... I haven't been paying attention to a bunch of people acting this way, but it's that situation where they get people being like, oh yeah, you hate Epic Games Store, right? Let's use this to launch an attack and basically grab a bunch of people with them and lead them down this path and hopefully, in their minds at least, keep leading them.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, I guess, you know, I feel like a lot of this is just sort of exploring stuff that we know to some extent or that we had a feeling about. But, like, as happened with Gamergate, like, I hated Gamergaters, right?
Mm-hmm.
I fought with them on Twitter. They DDoS Scanline Media because I would not put up with their shit. And I don't think that that's any different here. I don't have any... sympathy for the movement or for the leaders of that movement, but what I did do then and I am doing now is like, hey, there are, like, you know, there were some people, like the friend of mine, who were like, yeah, no, what if we did hold journalists to more of an account, and they didn't realize that they were being stupid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or being misled. They didn't realize they were being naive or foolish or ignorant or whatever the case may be. And I do, like, I've met people. There was a coworker who no longer works at my job because they got a better one, who talked to me about, man, Epic Game Store, that shit's pretty fucked, right? And, like, you know, I don't know him well enough to say whether or not he's a bad person. He didn't strike me as such. So I believe there are also people caught up in this who are not... who just have misconceptions and who are misinformed or are being foolish.
Yeah.
And I want those people to take a minute and think about, like, first off, okay, if you're part of the attacks, get fucked. You're beyond hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're just a piece of shit. And I don't have any time for you. But if you're like, well, listen, I don't endorse these attacks, but these people do have a point, let's back the fuck up. Think about what you're supporting. And you know what? If you do dislike Epic Games Store and all this stuff, do you know how you show that? Why don't you message them and be like, hey, I would have bought this game if it was on Steam, but I don't, I'm not going to install the Epic Games launcher. That's a message that is, like, valuable feedback for them and is respectful. I wouldn't do it right now. Seems like this is a bad time for even more constructive feedback. But just think about how you engage with this stuff. Think about how you try and get messages across, and think about who you're getting your direction from, right? Because, like as not, if you are part of, like, shutting down Ooblets right now, you probably didn't come up with the idea to do that. Probably you heard it from someone else. Probably you heard that that was a thing to do right now. And think about what the person who told you to do that's motives are. And think about, like, what the effect you're having is.
Yeah. Like, even a video essay person who is constantly railing against various services like Steam and Epic and stuff like that, they had a video on the Epic Game Store recently, but and I'm not really a fan of their stuff, but that's neither here nor there. Even they were like, okay, I've removed my video on this because this shit is so fucked. Stop treating people like this. I don't want any of this to act as a fuel to their fire.
That's one of the big problems I come into in the game space, is that there are times where I want to, as a critic, voice, like, my dislike for something, right? But I'm about to be the lamest person I can, but here we go. I had a tweet the other day that was a joke, but I thought also it was pretty honest, which was I was talking about finding out that someone you know plays games and trying to find out whether or not they're of a like mind to you. And the question you ask is, oh, so you're a gamer. And you see whether they say yes, no, or wince. If they say yes, don't trust them. If they say no, you don't have that much in common, but they're probably a decent person. If they wince, that's your people. Because, listen, I don't call myself a gamer anymore, and it's not because, like, I don't like games. It's because that term has become so tied up in this toxic identity and this toxic way of viewing all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I have times where I want to say stuff about a game or about a company, but because the atmosphere has become so toxic, I no longer feel like I can say that and have it not feel like either piling on or meaningless.
Yeah, there's this sensation of a wave for this kind of thing sometimes, and Part of talking about these sorts of things responsibly is paying attention to what's happening around you, and if saying something would end up inadvertently contributing to a wave of harassment going on, then you choose a different time to say it, or just say it in a different venue.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Wrapping it slightly back to capitalism a little bit, one thing that, one of the developers of Ooblets wrote this response today that was very well worded, and it was basically explaining everything that was going on, including showing some uncomfortable screenshots of the messages they were being sent. But this particular paragraph kind of stuck out to me because it really hits the nail on the head when we're talking about the way that certain gamers, hashtag gamers, treat developers. We've been told nonstop throughout this about how we must treat consumers or potential customers a certain way. I understand the relationship people think they might be owed when they exchange money for goods or services, but the people using the term consumers and potential customers here are doing so specifically because we've never actually sold them anything and don't owe them anything at all. And if they choose not to buy the game when it's released, that's totally fine with us. And whenever I've mentioned that we, as random people happening to be making a game, don't owe these other random people anything, they become absolutely enraged. Some of the most apparently incendiary screenshots of things I've said are along those lines.
Yeah.
We're dealing with a crowd of people that simply telling them you're saying you're going being a potential customer, like someone who may or may not buy something, doesn't entitle you to demand a specific direction or demand certain things from that game. That sends people into a frothing rage.
Well, and this gets back to part of the heart of capitalism, which is, like, money is just a manifestation of power, right? And so people are trying to leverage the concept of capitalism for power here, right? They're saying, they're not sitting here actually ready to buy the game. They're sitting here saying, like, I want you to remember your rent so that I can torment you with the idea of not making it.
Yeah, basically. Like, they like the idea that a game's success or failure is within their control and spending power, and if they can get something to be more along the lines of what they think they want by bullying those people and acting like you'll withhold money, then you'll go ahead and do that because you're a monster person.
Yeah, it's, you know, like, capitalism creates little capitalists in the heart of everybody part of it, and whether or not you're willing to listen to that voice is important. I feel like I summed it up pretty well. I was like that's a good opening sentence to nope, that's the thought. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty succinct and describes everything well.
And that's part of the problem with this podcast is it's actually really easy for us to find subjects for it, because so much of what's wrong in video games goes back to capitalism, because capitalism corrupts everything it touches. Hooray! But yeah, I think that's, I don't know, that's basically what I've got to say on the subject. For my part, I actually am in a situation where I really didn't have any interest in Ooblets. And now I find myself being like, maybe I should pick it up just to counteract all this shit. Which is, you know, it's one of those, like, I guess I have some contrarian genes, but also it's like, these people deserve support for all the shit they're going through, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's coming to console too, so you even if your computer wouldn't be able to handle it, you'd probably be able to play it some other way.
I mean, the graphics aren't that intense, right?
Yeah, it looks pretty cel-shaded and kind of cartoonish, so it could be fine.
Anyway, you got any last thoughts you want to throw out there?
I guess, I'm probably going to get Ooblets after all this. I was thinking about it already, but seeing what they're going through is one of the situations where I feel like I want to support them no matter what. And also, just, if you're the kind of person who thinks that, like, something else that I've been seeing around this conversation is, people are like, well, I wish this wasn't happening, but they kind of deserve it. Fuck you. No one ever deserves anything like this, even if you don't like the game or what they're doing with that game.
Yeah, that's a load of shit. So it's, I don't know. Yeah, that's what I got to say about that. Kick it here to the plug zone. Hit you up real quick with my deets. I'm SixStepMar. You can find me on Twitter at SixStepMar, SixStetMar. My DMs are open if you got thoughts. If they're shitty, I'll block you. But, you know, feel free to send them. I like blocking people. It's therapeutic. If you want to find the other works that I do, I've got a pinned tweet there that'll direct you to my various shows, but pretty much the short of it is they're all either on scanlinemedia.com or they're on patreon.com/scanlinemedia. What about you, Jen?
Yeah, most of my stuff is also on patreon.com/scanlinemedia or scanlinemedia.com. You could find me on Twitter at JBU3. We have a visual novel / I guess at this point it's visual novel / more story-based game podcast. Yeah,
I think we could start calling it a narrative games podcast. We'll have to run that by our co-host M to see if it gets the thumbs up, but that seems like it pretty much says it, right?
Yeah. Anyway, you could still find that podcast on readinggames.online, or if you go to Abnormal Mapping's website, it's listed as one of the shows, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. New episode coming out pretty soon, so.
Yeah, pretty excited to have that one out there.
Yeah. But until the next time that capitalism does its dirty business and we're smart enough to talk about it. This is Six.
This is Jennifer.
And peace out.
Later.